What's up, what's up, what's up, everybody? This is your girl Saina Wynn. I'm back again. I'm actually laying in the bed and I'm on the phone with my friend Rosie. She's gonna be pre-PhD.
I'm gonna try to be, depending on where we go with this.
Well, the reason why I
Girl.
said that, because I know you just got into grad school, but I think you're gonna get your master's right in psychology. So, but who
I'm
knows,
so
you know.
excited.
Right. I think I feel like you might like all black women who like just want to change and like go back to school. You're gonna be like, girl, I'm just getting my doctor's real quick.
I'm really hoping that it's everything that I think is going to be. I'm looking forward to it. So, come January, I'll be back in the books and trying to stay focused. So.
Well, I believe in you. I am supportive. And I hope you do go to there it's gonna be more local, so you will have the graduation. So
Yeah,
I will be
I
like,
definitely will. We'll do that this time, you know. The
yeah.
last time I didn't want to was kind of cold.
Yeah. I wanna be kind of like that black dad in that video that was like so happy that that kid like was graduating, that he like fell over the railing.
Right.
But I feel like it's gonna be a classy affair, so but just know that as I am cheering for you, that's what I would like to be.
Look. I hate to say it, but they might be telling me to be classy. I might break it down too on the stage. Like I did.
You know what? I'll pay you $100.
Okay. Look. Don't threaten me with a good time. Might have to do
Yes. Do a
it.
little booty shake. Like I am now pro like us people being just doing the way you feel, you know, like how you raised, black folks twerk. If you want to do a little jig, if you Irish, whatever you do, do you.
Right,
Do
exactly.
not conform. Do not conform to any standards of respectability. You, as long as you are not showing your cooch and your booch, I feel like you're fine.
Right, exactly.
I can
I'm the
consent to
same
see the
way.
cooch.
I am the same way, but there is nothing wrong with dancing the way that you know how, especially on a
Yes.
celebration. That's how I feel.
I know it's a
So.
joyful moment, just like it's an accomplishment. It requires a lot of discipline. And I do
For
admire
sure.
you for having that discipline. Where do you get your discipline from, Rosie Posey?
Well, you know, girl, listen, when I had I got this little 14-year-old, well, she's about to be 14, a year old child in here. That's what really started me to, hey, I might need to get my act together. And so I just decided that, hey, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna show her it can be done. And that's basically what keeps me motivated. So day to day. And my husband, him too, sometimes. So sometimes he's like, you need to get someone to sit down. You're doing too much. Chill.
It's the balance. It's the balance.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. So but yeah, girl, so I'm looking forward to it. I, wish you would go with me. I'm gonna keep throwing it out there. One day,
If
I'm
it's
gonna talk
not,
you into
if it's not there, it may be somewhere else, because every day, like, I find myself like I'm such a little armchair psychologist. It's not even funny. Like armchair expert. And even though I know I am far from it, I be like, I just feel like I be knowing.
Yeah.
And you know, just and plus with me like being very open about my mental health and like with this podcast, like I love just being open about it, having the vulnerability. And I wanted to inspire others to be vulnerable, if not with others, but at least with yourself. And
Right.
I thus the more I'm like, I see the benefit of it, especially for people of color. Like we hurting, like everybody's hurting. I just think that in order to get anywhere, you have to start healing yourself. And by
Right.
healing, you have to acknowledge. That's like the first step. Like there's a problem.
Yes. But then, the thing is, and what I found with a lot of people that once they go to the counseling and they start healing, and they start doing better, I feel like once they leave, I think they forget the steps. Some people, not all.
So.
And I think they wind up being basically, I want to say from what I've seen with a lot of people, they'll wind up back in the counselor's office repeating those same issues that they had before. And I'm not sure if they got it the first time and they just forgot or what. I know it's a lifelong thing, but you know how like some people are like, oh, I'm healed now and I don't need it anymore. I think everybody needs some help eventually. I think everybody needs to go see a counselor, you know, get the checkup like you do with your preventative exam. I think everybody needs that. So I
I
know
agree.
I need it once every blue moon. So and there's nothing wrong with asking for help. But then that's the biggest thing with me and what we were talking about earlier was I just feel like African American people, they're just, you know, they feel like they don't know what to do, where to go, how to do it, who to talk to, and it's a constant revolving door. And I see us slowly progressing, but we're still not where everybody else is. And we've been, was how many years has it been since slavery has
400.
ended? It's been
Well,
400 years,
since it was over 170 years, I think. Two
So you
great
know,
grandmamas. That's what it is. Two great grandmamas put together.
it's two great grandmamas. So see, and so we're
That's not a
just
long time.
now. Exactly. And we're just now seeing like black doctors and black lawyers. I mean, they were there, but it wasn't as many. We're
It's
finally starting to see some wealth. So.
exactly. And you starting to see, I think, and you know, okay, so this reason why we're having this impromptu conversation is just one, we wanted to do an episode of the podcast together. And I just keep forgetting to send you the link so you could just schedule a day. And like my
No
age
love, no love.
is
I'm just kidding.
what'd you say?
I said no love, no love. Just kidding. I'm
Oh,
just
okay.
kidding.
No, it's, you know it's all love, it's just all ADD too.
No, girl.
And so and then I was telling you earlier that I just had so I like to record my solo episodes in the car because usually I just come to that point where I'm just like had like a realization and I'm in the car. So let me just tell y'all and also like get my weekly podcast quota in. The bare minimum, you guys, sometimes is the only consistency you need.
Right,
And
exactly.
so I was doing that and then I had basically a very unhinged episode. It started out actually to me when I listened back, kind of consistent. Like I had to reel myself in because it's called cosines and tangents for a reason. And but then I hit on the topic of like slavery, which and decolonization, which is two of the things, which the decolonization has been something I've been slowly peeling back the layers of my life for like the last 3, 4 years, since 2019, I feel. And so we were talking about, and so I kind of went a little unhinged, like, and then I played this music in the background that made it sound really dramatic. But I was like, oh, maybe the more dramatic, y'all take it as funny. But then, and I was like, I say in the, episode that y'all, I swear to God, I'm okay. And then you slipped in the most subtle, well, are you? And I was like, shit, I don't know.
All right. Are you all right, sir?
Getting that therapist right there, it was such a good subtle black woman call out. Oh, you're gonna be good, girl. You're gonna be good because you like you did it so low key. Like, well, are you? And I.
Well, because I mean, here's the thing, we have to ask ourselves those questions, like, where is it really coming? Am I really okay? Like, why am I spazzing out? Why am I spiraling out of control? What is really going on? And so once you ask yourself those questions, then the next step is how do I fix it? How do I get better? What do I need to do? And sometimes you need, you know, somebody else to see it from a different angle, you know, and that's what the counselors are for. They're there to help you, you know, get to that point, you know. So And I feel like I said, all African Americans, you know, need, and it, well, I won't just say African American, I say everybody needs some help, you know, once in a lifetime. You never know, you know, you might have missed something might have happened, you know, younger, and now you're holding on to it, you know, so you might can't let it go, you know.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely nothing.
I feel like it kind of ties back into what you were saying about, like, some people go to therapy and then, like, the problem, they forget all the steps. And I feel like we conflate the word healed and it should actually be healing. And I feel like for your mental health, because I had this thought, like, when I was, like, super in my phase of, like, learning with my walk with God, that the relationship is an ongoing, intentional one. And even though you step under the grace of God, you still kind of have to keep working at that relationship. And now with mental health, I equate the same ideals. Like, you have to constantly keep using those skills, like, or those muscles, because if what happens to muscles if you don't use them? They atrophy.
They're weak. Right?
They're weak. Yeah. And so I feel like I write in my journals, when I do write in my journals, I am still healing. And I am like, and but I'm acknowledging that I have wounds, because thing is, wounds can be aggravated. There's scar tissue. There's always something that's going to make you remember what that wound was. And if you don't keep using those tools and feeling your body and understanding what this emotion looks like or feels like, you will forget. And then you find yourself spiraling. And I think that's kind of like what I did. But also, I also realized, like, once I listened back, I was like, oh, I'm okay. Like, I've been very happy, but then I think I'm turning just a little bit into the manic energy that I can have. And, but by acknowledging it, I was like, okay, enjoy, but don't use it as an excuse to go crazy, you know?
Right.
Do things in moderation, like, what do I like to do when I'm manic? I like to eat. I like to hang out with my little sneaky link, you know, but I wanted to change those and have boundaries. Right.
But see, and that is one of the things, like, the school that I'm getting ready to go to, it's not only for counseling, but it's also Christian counseling. So I also will be learning about the biblical part of it as well with the counseling. And the thing is that a lot of people forget that the Father uses your scars and your wounds and all the things that you've gone through in life. He uses that to build you up, to make you stronger. So if you look at it like that, you know, when you're spiraling out of control, that's him, you know, tapping you on the shoulder saying, okay, you're not all the way there yet. You know, you still need some help. You know, don't think that you're healed all the way, you know, and he's exposing that, because you might need to go back and see that counselor. You know, you might need to go back and, you know, visit your Bible again and see what he says about it, you know, so, or, you know, whatever your religion may be, you know, you might need to go and talk to him, you know, so that's, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, when you find yourself doing that, okay, I see what's happening here. You know, what did the counselor say? You know, what did God say I need to do, you know, in order to stop this, you know? And I get it, you know, when I'm down and out and I'm so bad about this, I love Snickers bars. Oh my gosh, they're like my favorite candy. I could eat a whole bag of Snickers. It's so sad.
And you know, as black women, that curse of the BDs be right there knocking at the door, like, hello,
girl,
how you doing?
Like, yes. And it's funny, by the time I get to the second one, I'm like, what are you doing, girl? Like, you just walked like all those laps around the track, and now you putting all them pounds back on. What are you doing? Stop it.
Girl. And I'm so trifling now, but actually, I don't think it's really triflingism. But like, I was like, shoot, I'm just fueling my body.
Right. Right.
I got like I still got a few of my body and it's nuts. So I don't like I don't I love Snickers too, but I don't eat the whole thing because I'm weird. I cannot
No.
stand the nougat, so I just eat the caramel, the
Just the top
chocolate,
part.
and the
Yeah.
nuts, and it's so. They used to
That's
actually
funny.
have a Snickers bar just with that, and I
They
was
did.
in hog heaven. So
They did. They did.
I
Yep.
was like,
Yep.
"How dare you get?"
Yeah. But like I said, I mean, most people, they don't think about it. I'm spiraling. I'm getting out of control right now. Oh, I need to find that happy place again. And whatever the happy place may be, you might, like I said, might need to call the counselor right away and be like, hey, I'm spiraling out of control. Help me,
Yeah.
or a good friend, or bike riding, or sometimes nature helps. Reading, like I said, reading your Bible again, that may help, whatever it may be. Don't be like the lady from Waiting to Exhale, where she got mad and cut off all her hair. Don't spiral that far.
Well,
Come
okay,
back.
now I feel attacked. I cut off
No,
my
girl,
hair
no,
in a
no, I went, I went, I went.
But it was actually kind of like it was premeditated. I've wanted to
Oh,
do it for a
girl, I
while.
thought I didn't know that. I'm
But
sorry.
it was no, it's and no, girl, you like I said, I am perfectly fine to talk about it. And like cutting off my hair in an emotional like release is like childish compared to what other people could do. And no
Right.
judgment. So it
Yeah.
was something I've always wanted to do it because I've been playing around like man, I want to cut my
Right.
hair like this and like that. And it was very cathartic. I had a little tear shed. I had my best friend cousin on the line. I said,
Well,
girl, I'm
see,
going to do it. I'm going
I mean, did you cut it off because you were just thinking about doing it, or were you cutting it off because you were having an emotional breakdown?
to do it.
Just two different,
A little
a
bit of
little bit of
both,
both.
though. It was
Oh,
actually both.
wow.
Like, I was like, you want to do it anyway, just do it and then get it shaped up. And I was like, but I want to get it done right. And then it was like, then I was like, you need this. And I was like, you're right, I do need this. And then I was like, just do it. Just do it.
Okay, I
And so
get
I
it.
and then I
Get
did it. And
it.
it also reminded me of it also reminded me of this TikTok. And I was like, just do it. Just have fun. Like, and then so I that actually started a year for me of just really like enjoying life. Like I smiled more. I was self-caring it up. And
Right.
that was like the year I decided. It was 2022. And so I actually decided not to go back to Memphis for a year after some F shit happened that
Right.
previous year. And I was like, I just can't do it. And so I just committed that year to myself. And it was like one of my best years. The book just Adventures of Oddities came out. I was interviewing a lot of people on a podcast, just having a great time. And so it was like a very cathartic release. So it was fine.
What it sounds like to me, though, that you needed that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a difference in spiraling out of control and then destroying yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, it sounds like to me, like, you were like, I'm done with all the pressures. And people don't think about Black women. Once again, we don't think about it. We put a lot into our hair. I'm just gonna say, some of y'all will be like, that's probably not a lot of money, but every 2 weeks I'm spending $200 on my hair. That is quite a bit of money per month. That's $400 in a month on just my hair. That doesn't include the rest of the stuff that I do. So, I mean, so cutting off your hair, hey, it might be that one thing you're like, I'm tired of spending this. I'm tired of going up in here, and I'm tired of all the drama and this and that. I'm just gonna do me, enjoy life, and maybe that's what you needed at that time,
I did. It represents like freedom and just actually, because I feel like we all have a vision of ourselves that we want to see and we try to like move towards that person. And I was like, I kept seeing this vision of myself with shorter hair, smiling, being happy, being free, just doing it. And I was like, I want to become her. So I felt like that was the first step I needed to do is just say, fuck it. Like, it's gonna grow back and just
Right,
do
exactly.
it. Like I, because I kept like I was going shorter and shorter and shorter, and then I let it grow back out to my normal fro, and I was like, I just want this to go. Like I wanted the responsibility to go, and I was like, I'm done. So it was nice.
But you know, I mean, now I will say this. So you've done it, and now you're free, and now you've gone through all of that in 2022. So my question, of course, you don't have to say it on here, but my question that everyone should ask themselves, why now all of a sudden is all this coming back up? What's triggering me? Something like, what made you ride in the car and you're just like, oh my gosh, like you're having a regular podcast and then boom, out of nowhere, you like go totally left field. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing that, you know, I know you say you have a counselor. That's the thing that you need to like express to your counselor. Like, this was my trigger moment. This is it. Like, what can I do about this? And they should be able to give you like some things that you can do, you know, or help you, at least help you figure out, you know, how to stop the trigger.
And usually talking about it helps the trigger. So I don't mind talking about what triggered. You want to know? It's random. It's really random.
I didn't know if you wanted to put it on here or not.
I talk about everything here. It's like my little
Okay.
diary, honestly, for like whoever listens to it. You just be especially the
Okay,
solo
yeah.
episodes.
Well, you know, I just, like I said, respecting you, my friend, and you know, and if you were my patient, I would be telling you, like, you know, you ain't gotta say it. I'm gonna go and tell you, you don't have to say it, you know, but if you want to, go ahead.
Appreciate it. It's honestly, look, I haven't talked to my therapist in a while, so and I keep like that's why I really have to get back onto my self-care, because like I got into so much of like making sure like my mom and my brothers are okay, and that may have triggered some things, because I was but at work I was on my lunch break working on. She's been sick for a while, and I've talked about it on here, and so just making sure everything is in order just in case something happens, and hopefully in the next 10 years. But just making sure everything, I think maybe just the thoughts of that triggered me a little bit. And then, okay, I don't know if you know this about me, but I am obsessed with cults, like learning about cults.
Okay, no, I didn't know
Okay,
that.
so. Well, I just like everything I can like documentary I find about it. I just find them so interesting. And so I was actually going to talk about cults. Like I was like, you guys, random, I know, but this has been on my mind for months to talk about, and talking about cults. And then I talked about how basically America is a cult and how it uses certain things to manipulate and people. And then I wanted to start talking about the Palestine-Israel conflict, and I just kind of like just went on a tangent about how we are just like we just need to treat people better. Like I just hate what's going on in this world, what's going on in Sudan and Congo. I know there's like things going on in every country, and it's and like I'm like we just why do we keep fighting for power when we should just take care of people? That's it's so simple. But
Ooh, yeah, I hear you.
and then there's
That's
still
a big
power,
question.
right? And it's like, why do we have to have this like malevolent power? Well, you could have a lovely and benevolent power where we take care of people, do people right, like therapy, because since America was built on the brutality and of slavery, Christopher Columbus being just horrible, the pilgrims starting to wipe out of the Native Americans, were built on so much blood and hate and slavery that we're not right from that. Like our ancestral DNA is corrupted with pain. And just so y'all know, I am a little high or intoxicated. Right. So I just so if it goes a little woo-woo, that may be reason why.
No, you
But
good, but
I do like think, because I know psychologically It they I remember my friend, she's a has a master's in early childhood development, and she said trauma takes six generations to be able to worm its way out of the historical DNA, the psychological DNA in a person.
That's correct,
And
yeah.
so I'm like, we're not even the, look what, like I said, we're two great great grandmamas ago of like, that's like my mom's mom, maybe mom was a slave or at least a sharecropper. So you talking about four generations right there.
Well, I think it even goes further than that. If we look at history and we think about the pilgrims, when they, if we go all the way back to when it first started, when the pilgrims came over here, they were fleeing from trauma. And then they brought their trauma over here and started it all over again. And now they're like, I'm empowered now. I can be the boss. You know, that's what I got from it. And they kept on and they put us in slavery and they beat people and they killed people and took people's land. And I mean, think about all the trauma that happened in order to make America, as our last president said, great. So,
Exactly.
you know, I mean, if you, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you go. You good.
No, so, well, so, I mean, if you think about that, now we're just now starting to tap into what they had when they first started. And it's still not easy. You know, we're still fighting to get a good education for our kids. You know, we're still trying to get just a piece of a land to have a decent house, you know, or a decent car. Even a decent job to say, hey, I'm intelligent enough to work this job. You know, you should hire me. You know, not because of my color, because it's going to get you some discount from the government, but because I'm just as smart, you know. So, and it's sad that we've had to go through all of this, but with all this trauma that we have, of course, now it's trust issues, and we don't trust even our own people, you know, because of we were put against each other. And so, I mean, if you really think about it, how is it that a single female in America is not going to have some trauma? I mean, it's almost impossible. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Oh, well, because I was gonna also like, the one thing I realized with, because I know we talked about this on the phone, just like how black men and black women don't get along. But I was talking to my friend today, and I was like, I don't feel like we were always this disjointed. Like there was probably, maybe we didn't know about it, or maybe we didn't talk about it so loud, or maybe it just wasn't, maybe we're weren't in this echo chamber that constantly talks about it. But I felt like in the, at least in the early 90s and early 2000s, mid 2000s, I still felt protected by black men. Not always attracted, like I didn't think a lot of certain black men were not attracted to me. But I still found men attracted to me. Like I feel like it's just, we have this all or nothing mentality, and I'm just like, and forgetting that it's just been so weird. Like it's been elevated, don't you think? Like it's been, it just seems like we've been elevated.
It has been. So I'm gonna tell you when, and I'm a couple of years older than you. I will not tell my age, but
Girl, don't
when
matter. You black. You are whatever age you are, you're gonna look at least 10 to 5 years younger than
Right.
me.
Exactly. Yeah. Girl, I
Somebody
got
said I
20
was
to
25 at my job, and I was like,
thank
oh, God, thank
you. Girl,
you.
thank you. I will take all of that. Yes.
Yes, I was like, I'm 37. He's like, what?
Right, yeah, I got carded today. I was like, oh, thank you, sweetie. I don't know if the gentleman was trying to be nice, but I appreciated that. I
Girl,
said, yes, take this card.
Right. That guy probably was lying because he know that black folks beat, everybody tell black folks that black don't crack and
right,
that'll make
right.
them smile. He probably knows the trick. Just say you look
Right,
different than
exactly.
you think
He's like,
it
oh,
is. Like,
yes, here you go,
okay.
sweetie.
Right, because he was a Latino brother, so he probably know the shit,
You
like,
know, he
come
was
on.
cute, girl, now, you know. Anyway, we getting off subject.
Anyway, sorry, yeah. Okay, my tent is cosigns and tangents. Okay, go back,
right.
go back.
But if you think about it, well, at least when I was in elementary school and middle school, it would be about 20 or 30 of us catching the bus. Mm-hmm. And if you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget this white guy. I was riding my bicycle from school by myself. I had to hurry up and get home. So I left my friends. We weren't walking together. And he screams out of his truck, the N-word. That's the first time I heard the N-word. I was in the sixth or seventh grade. And so, of course, it scared me because I was like, I've never been called that, you know. And so I start riding my bike even faster to get home. Well, the next morning I get up and I go to the bus stop. This time I didn't ride my bike. And I tell my friends, I'm like, oh my gosh, this white dude yesterday in this white truck call me the N-word. And so it was like, I don't know, all the guys, it was something like maybe 10, 13 of them, they were like, what did they call you? And I was like, yeah, they called me the N-word. And he's like, point the truck out. You know, point the truck out. And I was like, I'm scared for the guy at this point. And I was like, no, like, no, I'm pointing the truck out. And he was like, no, you're going to tell us who it was. So sure enough, at the end of the day, that same guy came driving down the road. And so, of course, me being me, I didn't want to say. And my friend grabbed me. He's like, is that the truck? And I'm like, yeah. And I don't know how they got that truck to stop. But he stopped. And they literally pulled him out the truck. I was so scared for this white man. I just knew he was about to get beat down in the street. And so my friend, I don't know if his name is Chris. And I don't even know if he listens to your show or whatever. But I've known him since like the first grade. And so when they finally got the truck to stop, they pulled the guy out and he grabs the guy and puts him in the car. And he's like a football player. So he's like a pretty big guy at that time. And he grabs the guy. He's like, apologize. And now, mind you, we're in middle school, you know. And
Hold on. I was thinking high school this whole time. And I was like, middle school, girl.
Middle school. And, you know, he was like one of the biggest guys at our school. Okay. And so like this guy, he might've been, I don't know. He might've been 120 pounds or whatever. Chris had to been like 200 and something. In middle school, he's a pretty big guy. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, apologize for what, you know, like just looking at him, like, and so like Chris, like, has this guy jacked up and it's like about 13 black guys like surrounding his truck. And all of a sudden, like, I walk up and he's like, oh, her. And I was like, oh, he got to be cute. Yes.
He still got Anna. Oh my God. That's when you know he was real racist.
Yes.
They die. They live and die by it when they real racist.
Yes. And I mean, as many of us that were standing around, you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, this guy is stupid. You know, and I was like, no, just let him go, you know, just let him go, no big deal. And so he's like, whatever, I don't owe her nothing. And so Chris, like, literally, like, that guy, he like, Jack, he like, shakes him almost, you know, like, I'm like, you're gonna get suspended, I'm like, I don't know you. That's what I'm thinking in the back of my head. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, my parents are gonna kill me, because, you know, back then, your parents didn't play, you know, they come up to you and beat you right there.
Oh, yeah.
And so, anyway, he eventually apologized so he could get back in his car, and they let him go. And, of course, Chris was like, when it's a bunch of us, don't get afraid. You know, and I'm thinking, like, somebody is going to catch me by myself, and then what am I going to do? You know? And but yeah, the black boys back then, if you were disrespectful to any of us black girls, they would deal with you. Now, I hate to say it, I haven't seen, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but I have not seen a little boy stand up for a black girl in a very long time. I have
That's
not
so
seen
weird.
that. I haven't. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if they were taught not to do this for black women or what, but it is almost like they're at war with black girls. And that's one of the things, like I'm going for counseling for children as well as marriage counseling. Those are my two things that I signed up for. And I really want to get down to the bottom of that. Why such hate for black women? And why such hate for yourselves? Like,
It's
don't you love you? You
right, but
know?
you know it, I feel. Okay, so this is back to kind of like my slavery cultist way the world, how we shape a lot of things in our country, especially with social media. I remember I was just kind of like hunting around because I had this idea to talk to black entrepreneurs about their mental health. And I was like getting prepared, like gathering contacts, and then life happened and I got derailed and discouraged and kind of like forgot about that. But I think they told, it was this one group, they have this the coded, I think I linked their stuff in the bio, the coded clothing line, and we went to college together, and so we were around the same age, and I was talking about like kind of bring testing little subjects like isn't it crazy like how it seems like black women, and they're a black couple. And how it seems like black women and black men are just seem to fighting each other. Like we went to school around the same time. Like I knew there was still like the, you know, there was the black guys that we knew like the white girls, and we'll be like, you like white girls. It was like a little ribbon, but it wasn't like, you know, ribbing, but maybe with still like an internal hostility that you really didn't mention because you didn't want to look like you gave a shit. Does it
Right,
make sense?
exactly.
But you still like you know, you give them that little shit like he like white girls. I bet he like white girls. But I still felt like if I did a yell, I could depend on at least five of my black men to show up, regardless of how they felt. Like even if I didn't feel like I was like their romantic interest, I still felt like they were gonna protect me because I grew up with black men protecting me.
Yeah, and even on that, the black guys that like the white girls, they still would come around and be like, you know,
You
I still
are
think you're beautiful. You know,
all
you're okay.
right.
Yeah, I might not want to be you know, intimate or date you or anything, but I'm still looking out for my sisters, you know.
Yeah, there was still the
But
camaraderie and the
yeah.
respect, and now it almost feels like it's like a rite of passage to diss a black woman. Right. Either
Which
you
is
either gonna
crazy.
pander real hard to black women, like I love my black queens, and then you end up marrying a alabaster princess, and it's just like, what the hell happened, bro? Like you either get, it's like it's there's no medium. I feel like, well, I feel like there is a medium. We just don't post the medium. We post
Well, and
the polarizing and the salacious.
here's the funny thing. Every black couple that I know of right now today that I'm friends with, they're divorcing or they're having some sort of issue. And I've asked, you know, hey, what's going on? You know, and it's not the black men this time, it's the women. They don't want to be married to the black men anymore. They don't like them. They're not attracted to them or whatever the case may be. You know, so then you also got that going on too.
Damn.
So yeah, and I'm like, what is going on? And these are like some of these couples, they've been together 20 plus years, you know, and they're like walking away from it. And you
Oh,
know,
they
not
shouldn't do
nothing
that.
against, yeah, that's what I
Don't
said.
do
I'm
that
like,
as a single person. You don't want to come out back into these streets.
yeah, it's hard out here. Yeah, it's
It
hard.
is
Hard out here.
gross.
Yeah, for real.
It's piss
Yeah,
in the
and
pool, honey. It
yeah.
is a bad apple that has ruined the bunch. Don't come out here. Make it work.
Yes, well, see, that's what I, try to tell them, because I'm like, well, I got single friends and I got married friends, and y'all, I'm telling you, my single friends are like, girl, you better be thankful that you got married back in 2000 and in 10 or 2008 is when we got, girl, that's my husband gets on me all the time. I never can keep up with the date. I think it's 2008, but they be like, girl, you better be grateful, because it ain't, it's nothing out here, Even dating outside the race, I've heard, the same thing. So I'm like, what is going on? Like,
Girl,
I don't know.
if there's piss in the black pool, there's acid in the white one. I've dated, just it's all the same. They're all some. They're all just fluids that you don't want on you. So.
Here's what I've, just from observation. As you see, I'm quiet most of the time, and I sit back and I just like people watch, because that's my thing. That's how I
You
figured out,
observe it.
right? That's how I figured out, oh, this psychology might be the thing I need to do, because that's all I do is like look at folks and figure them out. And but anyway, and so I've noticed, like, okay, you got the black male, the dominant black male, wanting to be like a woman and dismiss women. If you think about the basketball players and NFL players, they're supposed to be like the macho men. But now every time you turn around, they're on TV saying that they're gay or whatever, So you got that. So they don't want the woman, any woman. Then you have the black males that don't want the black women. And then they date the white women, but then they're not happy with them, and they wind up divorcing them. But then they have now these mixed kids that don't know what's going on in their culture at all. And then you have then you have the black woman that's like, I'm now in power, I got money, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And then they don't want just any old black man. And they're like, hey, you're not on my level, because then you got that going on. And then now you got the children saying, well, why should I protect the black girl, because she ain't nothing no way. And then also then you got the black girl going through the stuff with the other black girls on, you're too pretty, or you're not pretty enough, or you're not athletic enough. So then you got all that going on too, and
You got
that's just
natural hair when you should be permed, or you permed, you got natural
right.
hair. It's just there's so many like BS built-in divisions to distract us from like being together. Like I remember there
Right.
was a debate on if you're biracial, if your mom is black, you're more black, but if your mom is white, you're less black. And I was like, I never heard of such a thing in my life. I grew up always with the assumption if you got a black parent, you're black, regardless
Right.
of if you're like, we keep whittling down who's black and not
Yeah.
realizing that that is by design. Because, like, I was thinking about, like, again, when did like this extra divisiveness started happening? And I feel like it happened around 2019-ish, 2018, 19-ish, where, and then especially in 2020, where you saw black people really coming together, black women, black men coming together, and then we were torn apart by these ideas of mistrust. And the thing is, I feel like they're still very valid. Because now that I've been working on like decolonization and understanding like the patriarchy and how it sets men up to be emotionless and not understanding how to process their emotions and their vocabulary being limited. But also, black women, when you think about it as enslaved people, black men and women weren't able to have any emotions. And so that's why you still have black women who, if I'm going to use the manosphere phase, black women operating in their masculine because they don't have the same, they, because Black men, some Black men and some Black women have the same emotional vocabulary, i.e. they don't have any. They don't understand that. They know, Black women know that they can show emotions a little bit more than a Black man because they're girls, but still they've been told to hold, don't cry, hold that shit, be a thug, be this, be strong, because you're gonna have to do this solo, dolo, because every generation of male and female relationships have ended in a solo woman. So it's creating these levels of in your masculine. And we all went through the same thing, and but we just don't, but then we're told not to talk to each other. When it became in the, welfare, like you can't have a man in your house. And so men are still mad about that, but I'm just like, so you wanted her to abandon her children for her man?
Right. So the man's jumping out the window trying to make sure that she can keep her house.
And then you're, crazy. But then when you think about it, like generationally, we're just now being able to be real fathers and mothers to their children. Like I think with my mom and dad's generation, because like they grew up, they were just able in the 60s, they got all their rights. To be a full-fledged human, even though everything was still stat laws and stuff still built into them, but federally they were full-fledged humans with all the rights to bodily autonomy at that time. And so you are just now to actually have a free thought. And so those are those generations, I feel they're just still battling off slave mentality, Jim Crow, like Black women, Black men and Black women had to, this is going to get dark, so trigger warning, they had to rape each other for generations because they were products. See, we had no consent.
Well, here's the thing. And see, if we think back to the way that we were taught in elementary school, and they're not doing this now. They actually, they're reverting, they're changing a lot of these things. But if you think back, girls were taught you have to get good grades in school, and you have to do good because you might wind up having to take care of your whole family by yourself. That man probably won't be there. He'll probably be in jail. And that's what we were shown. Like, we had to work hard. And even, you know, I'm not from, you know, Tennessee originally. I'm from Florida. Living in Florida, if you made honor roll as a girl, you got a full ride scholarship. But if the Black boys made just C, they got scholarships. So there was already differences right there. Minority scholarships, the only way to get them is if you had honor roll as a Black girl. Otherwise, you had to pay. But the boys, no problem. So they were already kind of segregating us just on grades alone. It's just, you know, and people just said, that's how it is. You know, that's how it's going to be. You know, the same thing with having a voice as a Black male. They really didn't have a voice. But now if you were a Black female doing well in school, you had something to say. You could talk. It might have been, I remember at my school, it was majority white, and it was about 10%, which was actually the most that they've ever had at that school of Black kids. And half of the Black boys dropped out before the 10th grade. And then most of the Black girls dropped out too. They either, you know, didn't make the grades or didn't have housing or whatever. A lot of them were, you know, something that happened with their families. They just didn't graduate. And it was like the white people, they said it when we first got there. It was put in our heads without even knowing it. And I just remember the speech. They said, half of you all won't make it. Now, what a thing to say. You know, instead of uplifting us and saying you all can do this, they said half of you all aren't going to make it. And then when we got in the 10th grade, and for those of us that were smart, they only told a couple of us about the college courses that you could take in the high school. It wasn't well known. So if you weren't part of the in crowd, you didn't find out about it until it was too late. And that's the biggest thing. I have noticed that here where I am now with my daughter, like, I'm always finding out new things. I'm, you know, constantly asking questions. But if I wasn't an inquisitive parent, if I wasn't, you know, one of those that was always like, hey, I'm here for my child, you know, this, that, and the other. Just think about the parents that work all mm-hmm. the time. They yeah. don't have time to go up there and find out all these things.
Yeah, because you know? I know my mom was like you. She was at the school. She was checking in on me. But also, like, I know this is a change. I know, like, I feel like parents in our days, because I feel like mm-hmm. our parents are both from the same generation. Mm-hmm. And so they would, like, believe the teacher unless it was something, like, completely out of character right. or disrespectful to the intelligence of the child. Because my mama, mm-hmm. like, my mama knew my brothers were, like, straight up, like, jokesters. But if mm-hmm. it was, like, something threatening their intelligence, he would be, or physical, because I think somebody smacked my brother on the back of his head. Mm-hmm. He rolled up at the school, honey.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I,
yeah.
when
my mom would...
Yeah, she was like, no, like, I know this child's an act up. One, they don't lie about being physically touched. If you touch my mm-hmm. baby unprovoked, like, if it's a, because, you know, did y'all have paddling in Florida?
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah, we grew up in there, corporal punishment. That was allowable, like the spank on the mm-hmm. hand or the bottom. But at a certain point, like, no, you're not going to physically hit my child's head. Like, that's his brain. And so, like, I feel like the parents had the ability to be more active. So I'm like, I wonder how did that change? Like,
well, it changed when the shooting happened. Remember when the Matrix was out and the guys went in the Matrix jackets and it shot up the school?
Columbine, yeah, girl. Yes, Columbine. But a lot of people don't remember there was two mass shootings before that, because I remember because I looked it up. You remember that? It was like Jonesboro something.
Yeah.
And I in the school, and I was like, as a little kid, so shocked. And then Columbine happened, and then I was like completely flabbergasted.
Yeah. Columbine was like the worst before those. Those other two that happened, they just kind of brushed it. You know, no big deal. It was just a couple kids. Don't even worry about it. You know, which was wrong. They should have worried about it then.
Yeah.
So when Columbine happened.
Out of me.
Right, exactly. So when Columbine happened, they were like, okay, now we really have to do something. We're going to stop these coats. We're going to stop them from wearing hoodies. We're going to lock it down. The parents can only get in the classrooms when, you know, they have set up an appointment, you know, this, that, and the third. And I'm going to tell you, you know, for me, I feel like the fear of my mom just popping up in my class, that alone made me definitely do my work. Like, I can remember times my teacher saying, I'm going to call your mom. And I was actually terrified because mom would just, sometimes she would just walk up in there and be like, what are you doing? You know, mm-hmm. I might've been laughing with my friends, you know, finishing my work. And my mom would walk up and be like, aren't you supposed to be doing your work? So girl, I did not. And listen, my mom didn't play. Like sometimes she would come up there. I caught myself one time, you know, trying to be grown and skip class. Mama rolled up. She rolled up on me and she slapped me. I was in the bleachers trying to look at a basketball game when I was supposed to be in geometry.
Uh-oh.
Girl, mama slapped me down on bleachers, okay?
Oh my
like,
God.
She wasn't playing no games, like, in front of everybody. So, you know, I'm just saying, didn't nobody call the police? It was understood I was supposed to be in class. You know, it wasn't child abuse. It was getting my child to make sure that, and I graduated. We're honored. And wasn't no more skipping.
Especially now you know? Beat your ass in front.
Right. And I got picked on all through high school about it. But I bet you I made sure I did what I was supposed to. And that's what I'm saying. We don't have that anymore. So we've lost the parents having the strength. We've now lost the boys respecting the girls. We've now lost the marriage. We've lost people have feeling like they have some self-worth. And so the thing is that that's why counselors, and it's a call now. Like, it's almost like you have to have those mental checks because everything's gone out of control. Nobody knows what to do. It is the hamster wheel. I mean, everybody's running everywhere. And like I said, in our community, because me and you both are African American, we see it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's happening in other nationalities too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it's not just us, but it's just right there in our face because we have our brothers and our sisters and our cousins, and we see what's going on constantly with them. And you just want to tell them, like, go get checked. And then nobody wants to go get checked. Like, yeah, you need that checkup. You need somebody to tell you, you know, you shouldn't have said that cuss word to your such and such the other day. You shouldn't have spazzed out today.
Yeah. That was just like some boundaries or something where, I don't know, it's just, I don't know. I felt like, but I felt like we had a lot more critical thinking freedom, mm-hmm. like in school. Like, I remember mm-hmm. like having debates in high school, questioning mm-hmm. things, but also because we went to an all-Black school, we kind of talked mm-hmm. about all-Black matters though, in right. a way. Like, it was subtle. It wasn't like, oh, don't talk about that. You can't talk about that. But, like, we were able to cultivate ideas about Black-on-Black community things because we lived right. in a Black community majority of the time. Well, majority of my life. I wasn't with a whole bunch of white people until I came yeah. to college. So, woo, yeah, culture shock in itself.
Yeah, see, in Florida, you know, it's the melting pot. I had everybody. Mm-hmm. You name it, I had it. But in school, even though it was a majority white school, it was a couple of Asians and Indians and other nationalities there. But we had, like, African-American history. We had mm-hmm. our multicultural clubs and that sort of thing. So we kind of got a chance to get together and talk about life. And then they separated us, which I don't know if they do that here or not. I still haven't had a chance to ask, but they separated us, and the Black girls actually got to meet with other Black women would actually come to the school and talk to us. And we would get a chance to talk to them and then tell them about things that were going on. And they would tell us how to handle it, you know, and the same thing, the boys got the same thing. And it really helped. Like, if you didn't have a clue as to what college to go to, those women would come in there with, like, pamphlets and tell you, hey, you know, this is what you need to do. Or, you know, if your parents were too afraid to talk to you about your body, they did that. You know, like, it was just little things like that. Or if some boy, like, I'll never forget, this boy just randomly came up and kissed me. And I got in a fight and I got suspended. Well, I mean, I was defending myself, you know. And those women, you could come back and be like, hey, you know, this happened to me and this boy kissed me. And they would go and fight it for you. And I know for me, that fall, you know, once they went up there and you know, pleaded my case and everything to the principal, it got thrown out. I wound up getting that removed. And I wound up getting credit for that day. So it was basically like a little vacation day for me. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, you needed that. Like,
you
I just
that.
Wonder if the... Yeah, I just wonder if the kids have those advocates. I'm wondering if, even with marriages now, I'm wondering if the people that are married, if they know, you know, okay, so you may not have a church you can go to, but you can go to a group session, and it's free at places. You know, you need to try to get together, or even going over to your friend's house. Like, do people even do that? I know I do it, but I'm just saying, I wonder if people get together and, like, play cards together. You know, people used to do that. You know, they would go to each other's house and play cards and music.
Just kick it.
Yeah, just kick it. And you get a chance to, you know, get with your friends and be like, you know, he done got on my last nerve today. You know
what I'm saying? Girl, they don't do that stuff. I think they get on TikTok and they share one-sided videos to each other. Yeah. And no shade, because I do this. This is why I know. I do this too because, like, I get on there and just, like, and voice have my little parasocial relationships, or get my little likes and my little comments every now and then just to feel some type of like, because it's not really a conversation. Because back in the day, it could be like more of a conversation. You may be held accountable, you may not, you may be co-signed, but it was just relegated to your top five, you know, and just, or you'll go bowling. And but I think this generation, and also it wasn't helped by COVID, of social media literally became a lifeline for people during COVID when you were quarantined. And a lot of people stayed alive by doing TikTok videos and developing Zoom parties. And you know, you like, because like humans are, we are creatures of community. And so being alone, like having no community, will leave you depressed and just feeling out of sorts. And so we, you have to create a community somehow, and it's more convenient. That's why I think dating is worse, because no one knows how to like, because I've been watching Friends a lot, and there were, and they actually had showed them trying to mack on females, and like same thing with living single. I was like, men don't do this anymore. Like, I can't tell you the last time I've been physically hit on by a stranger in real life at a club or in a coffee shop or at the library. Like, yeah. Like, I may get like, I got a cat call back in 2000. Hey.
Girl, Sina, this
The
you
earbud
say
said, y'all getting too close to the truth.
it wasn't the earbuds. My husband, okay, so when he tried to text in, I guess it just kicked me off. I don't know what was heard last or said last, but I think married women, I hate to say this, you know, and hopefully
Let's
nobody don't get mad.
just 1 second go back, because the last thing we were talking about is just, you don't think that boys are taught how to date girls. And then I was gonna tell you about this girl, this video, which was actually found out to be a skit, where you had this black woman, she was cute, and this guy, he was cute, but he didn't really look like her type. He take her out to the Cheesecake Factory, and like he opens the car door, and he tries to open the car door, and she locks herself in his car and says, he's like, you don't want to get out? She's like, no, like, I'm a beautiful woman, you know, take me to the Cheesecake Factory. I was like, bitch, I was like, where are these people
I
coming from?
know, right? Exactly.
and
Oops,
then
see, that
and
made
then
me mad.
and then so it then it sparks this debate, and people get so nasty with a black woman, because I think she's gorgeous, but she had like purple lipstick, and she was like, and they were like, ma'am, you can't be treated like the Cheesecake Factory or whatever. You are Cheesecake Factory. Like, people are just being so mean and
Mean.
derogatory. And then I'm just like, first of all, I'm okay with the Cheesecake Factory. I'm okay with whatever gives me to spend time with that person, because I'm not, I only expectation I have when I go on a date, and it's maybe too low. Well, besides, you know, the guy showing up, if he asked me on a date, I expect him to pay for the first date. And then if we like each other, we vibe, and I'm okay with like splitting depending on if we're vibing or dating or in a relationship. But to me, if you ask me on a date as the first date, I want you to pay. That, because men's emotional or men's worth is tied to their pocket. So if they're gonna spend money on you, you know they're that's how I feel. If they're gonna spend money on you know you're important to them, because they like, money is like, oh, I did this with my money. I was like, good for you.
Okay, so I hate to not agree with you.
Hey, it's okay. School me,
You're my
girl.
girl,
This,
though. You're my girl.
I feel you. You school me. You let me know.
Okay,
I don't.
so go ahead.
No, go ahead. You good?
No, what I was gonna say is that so I guess it's all about upbringing with that, because I was taught a man, yeah, his emotions is tied to his pocket, but he's gonna want something.
Oh,
So if
yeah.
you ain't trying to give nothing, don't let him pay for nothing on the first date. That's what I was taught. And it's true enough. I mean, it has kept me many years from doing something other than what when I was getting ready. And I didn't know. So, and this, I know a lot of brothers gonna be like, yeah, y'all women need to learn this. I didn't know because I've been married for so long. I've been married 20 something years.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know how expensive eating out was. I just like, I want to go out to eat. And he's like, okay, I'll pay for it. Sure, let's go. So one weekend, and I know I've told you this story many times. One weekend, I said, you know what? I'm going to treat my baby. I haven't treated him in a long time. I'm going to treat him. I'm going to pay for everything. And he's just going to sit in the car and enjoy. And I'm going to put on the baddest, cutest outfit, you know, the little Usher song, you know, with the roles in reverse. I was like, I'm going to reverse every role tonight. It's all about him. I'm going to open his door. I'm going to do everything, right? Girl, I was so mad. At the end of the night, I mean, I still, you know, I didn't show it to him. But the next morning, I complained. So I gassed my car up. That was 50 something dollars, which I was like, okay, whatever. I always do that. Then, of course, the outfit I picked out, it was like 200 or 300. So I was like, okay, with the shoes, you know, I looked, I already had some shoes. So I was like, I found no new shoes. So I got that outfit. I was thinking I was looking cute. You know, I decide I'm going to take us out to eat. Dinner was 100 and some, I think it was like $110. And then I took him to the movies. That was another $100. And then, of course, he always gives me like something special. You know, it could be like a little whatever, whatever. So, you know, I like, well, you know, you want to go, you know, here, I'll buy you something, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, instead, I'm thinking he gonna let up. Girl, no. He's like, yeah, I want to get something special.
Treat me like the gentleman I am, baby.
Spent almost $300 on one night. I was
You
so
spent who
mad.
much?
Almost 300 and something dollars just on food and the movies. Okay, that's not including my outfit because you know I had to be cute and the gas. I know I spent like 400 and something dollars between, as the more I keep thinking about it, it might have been a little more than that. I was so mad. My credit card,
Girl.
it's funny, but it ain't. My credit card ain't never seen that much swiping in one night. Okay. I was like, no wonder dudes be on some nookie at the end. I don't blame them.
Man, I'm dating the wrong niggas. Like the most of the men I have dated, they did take care of, but I wasn't just bothered. Or maybe I was like, I didn't have the expectations to go to like Ruth Chris. I was just like, I just want to eat and get to know that person.
So here's what I have found. Honestly, men respect when you respect. So if you give them the same thing that you want back, they will keep giving. And so that's why I think a lot of women mess up with relationships when they don't think, hey, he has feelings. Like, think about how much money I spent. You know, that's why I was like, afterwards, I was like, oh, baby, you ain't got to tell me to cook dinner. What you want? I'll cook it. You know what I'm saying? Because that was ridiculous. And what I was talking about, I want to go, it ain't cheap. So I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, like, I was like, clench my pearls moment. You know, and to some people, that might not mean anything. You know, they might be like, oh, you know, $400 one night ain't a big deal. But it is. You know, I mean, that's a lot of money, you know. But also, if he takes you to Cheesecake Factory, you should be grateful. That little skit, some women really do that, you know. And but he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to take you there. Could have kept
Right.
up. You
Well,
he could have told you to stay home.
because like a part of the story that happened that we found out was that he had another restaurant plan that was better and more kind of prestigious. But homegirl, little mama was an hour late and they missed the reservation. So he's like, well, let's just go to the Cheesecake Factory because they always gonna seat you. You know, you gonna get a seat. And
Might be
so
a
she.
minute.
And then so she's like, and then he's like, well, I'm taking you home because that's just disrespectful. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. She said, you sure you don't want to go? And he's like, no, you just, you know, I, you know, I'm not mad. I feel a little disrespected. And I think it's just, I don't think this is going to work. And so he drives her home. And I was like, these weird expectations that social media has placed on dating and
Yes,
men
I
that
was just about to
date.
say.
It's so dumb. Like, I was like, somebody said, if you can't afford to pay, you shouldn't date. So you telling me that teenagers shouldn't go on their first little burger date where they go to the movies or they go to the fair because he can't afford it? Like, just why don't the fuck? Like, you're desocializing yourself with because of these monetary expectations you have for your time. I was like, you have to have compromises when you're trying to fall in love with somebody. Because, like, I'm not trying to fall. Like, I've been with somebody who was like, didn't understand my worth because he thought money was okay as all he needed. And I've been with somebody who was worked really hard for every penny he made and he took care of me. I'd rather be with that person who works hard every day, who's able to take care of me, but sometimes I had to take care of him because
And
until he was
that's how it
racist.
should be.
But
That's,
still.
I think
That's
a
still.
lot of women and some men feel like something's owed to you. Nobody owes you anything. And here's the biggest thing with that. When you're dating, you all are both trying to get to a point. My dad used to always say, everybody comes to the party for a reason. So if you ask yourself the question, why is he here? Like, is he really wanting to be with me, or is he just trying to use me, or is he just after the cookie? If your answer, if I mean for sure, if you know this person is really trying to get to, or it could be something, then treat him like the king he is. He's a king. He's the king that you want to be your king. So if you're taking, and this is the way I look at it, if you're taking out your time to spend time with this man, make it count. Don't try to use him. You know, if you treat it like that, then you all will eventually have a beautiful relationship. So on the first date, if he comes and picks you up, first of all, like I said, think about what I said. It cost me $50 to fill my gas tank up. So he's coming to
In
pick
this
you up.
economy,
Gas ain't cheap.
girl, I was like, when you said 50, I said back in what the early 2000s, gas was cheap. What was your tank? 50?
Exactly. So, but even then, I
Were you
mean,
driving a
people weren't
Hummer?
getting paid as much back then, huh?
I was joking. I said, were you driving a Hummer? What the hell?
Oh
Like,
no, girl. No. I wasn't talking about back then. I said this was recent.
oh, this is
This was
recently.
recent, girl.
Oh, okay,
Yes, this was
yeah.
recent. And I was just like, oh, no, all my feelings hurt.
Oh yeah, girl. Girl, for 20 years you ain't didn't you didn't you just found out? That's so nice. You have 20 years of
Girl.
bliss.
Yes, but see, that's another thing. I would do little stuff, but I never did like the full on from here on. Like, he'll buy dinner, I would buy the movie, but I never pay for everything. See, he's paid for everything, and that was my first time being like, "Honey, I got you. You ain't got to worry about nothing. I got you the whole night." And girl, I'm telling you, I was feeling.